Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 410, 65 degrees. It was raining out when I came in here, so I don't expect much different now. One of them days on this Monday, June 16th, 2025. Don't hold it against me. I won't hold it against you. Monday's Monday. We'll get through it, almost over with now. So I had a texter text in that, you know, back in the day they made three and change at a Weiss Market when they worked, and that was probably minimum wage back then. They're not sure what they make now, but it's probably around minimum wage. I just did a check. I know up by me they get about $12 an hour at the local Weiss's by me. But as per Indeed, average Weiss Market's hourly pay ranges from $12.49 per hour to $36.36 an hour for one of their refrigeration technicians. So get your trades on, ladies and gentlemen. Go to trade school, get your refrigeration technician certification or degree, and $36.36 an hour is nothing to sneeze at. In Virginia, I guess there's Weiss Markets in Virginia too. They make 19, where did I see it here? 19 something an hour. $19.03 an hour they make in Virginia. Higher cost of living, higher pay. That's the way it goes. You'd be surprised. You'd be amazed at what people make out in California. Just unbelievable salaries, but everything costs more. So it's the same as living here, making the same per capita here because cost of living's a lot less. So that's what we have there. Let me go to the phone now. We have Elle from Wayne County on the minimum wage. Elle.
Hi. Oh, Rob, first, thanks a lot for reading that information about President Trump contacting Shapiro, because I was pretty certain that President Trump had contacted him. And I don't like when people are calling in, when they have incorrect information, they want to B-I-T-C-H and complain.
No,
they want to pitch and
complain. People don't get it right. People don't get it right all the time, Al. That's not a problem. We did find the proper information. You know, he spoke his piece, and I said I disagreed. And, you know, I found where I remember Josh Shapiro saying he missed the first call and had to call back. I remember that happening. So, you know, right. I was able to pull it up real quick, but I didn't get the interview for where Josh Shapiro said specifically on his own platform of that. But, you know, people make mistakes.
Okay. Well, now with this minimum wage, now people have to realize minimum wage is different in different states. The last time I heard them talking about minimum wage on TV, they had mentioned that there's still some states that do not even have $7.25 as a minimum wage, which I thought that was every state, but it is not apparently, because they had that report on, but they didn't mention the states. So I really don't know how many states are not even given the $7.25, but when you have states like California making ridiculous amounts of minimum as a minimum wage, that's where everybody gets so confused, they don't even know what they're doing. And you have to remember, a minimum wage, even though we have $7.25 as a minimum wage, there are still people that don't get that. And that is the servers. When I was a waitress, I waitressed at two different places. Once when I was still in high school, and once after I was probably maybe 20s or 30s. I can't remember. But we only got $2 an hour. Now, the first place I worked in high school, I don't even remember getting that.
Yeah.
And then I worked with one other person. We had to share the tips. And the girl took all the tips that I worked with. And it was
I have
ridiculous.
The answer. I have the answer for you on the states. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour. It was set in 2009, but that only covers workers that are under the FLSA must pay. Any employers covered by the FLSA must pay the federal minimum wage. Georgia and Wyoming have a state minimum wage of $5.15 an hour. Five states, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Tennessee, have no minimum wage law. In these states, the federal minimum wage of $7.25 applies to, again, to just the FLSA-covered employers. So you are right. There's a few states that don't have a minimum wage at all, five of them. And then there's two states, Georgia and Wyoming, that have a $5.15 per hour minimum wage, but employers subject to FSLA must pay the federal minimum wage.
Well, why are these certain states without this FLSA, and what do those letters stand for? Federal something?
Fair Labor Standards Act.
Oh, fair labor. Okay. So why doesn't every state have that at least?
You're above my research for a three-hour show here, Al. I got you the answers of which states they are and how much they're paying and what's covered and what's not covered. That's about as far as I'm looking to go here.
Well, one last thing. Today on the news, they said that lifeguards were getting $22 an hour. I just want you to know that.
Not here, they're not, but a lot of places
they
do.
I didn't hear where it was. I didn't hear where it was, but I heard them say $22 an hour for a lifeguard.
Yep, they do real well. I'm telling you, when my kids, they got certified when they were 15. They worked as lifeguards all the way into their young 20s until they got their real jobs. It was a great skill set to have because of the first aid and everything that's involved. It's great exercise to be in, and it's always in demand. And listen, if you want to work summers and then kind of maybe just work weekends and a night here and there, it's great during the school year. It's really a great thing to do. It's not very difficult if you're a good swimmer or if you're a capable swimmer. And it's a great thing to get to have because no matter where they went, when they went to other areas, like when they went off to college, they worked at the local pool as a lifeguard. They were able to get some part-time work and pick up a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great thing to get. You going to go get your lifeguard certification now?
No, I was never afraid of the water until my cousin threw me in the deep end and I swallowed a lot of water. And from then on, I never really liked swimming.
All right.
So she ruined that for me.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling today.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's 4:16. Looking at some text messages coming in, but we'll get to them in just a little bit. So the conflict now between Iran and Israel has really heated up. I have seen a lot of American assets being moved. There was an unprecedented amount of aircraft crossing the United States that appear to be headed towards the Middle East. By aircraft, I mean mostly support aircraft like tankers and such like that. We do have plenty of assets over there in the region, but we did move some Arleigh Burke-class destroyers closer to the situation. The U.S. Embassy in Israel was minorly damaged. Now, they're really not defining how much or who or where or if there were any injuries in one of the Iranian strikes. Now, what has been extremely clear is Iran is just lobbing ballistic missiles and drones indiscriminately into Israel's populated area, targeting populated areas, where Israel's strikes have been more precise, targeting leadership, scientists, and nuclear facilities, as well as military facilities. That's going to be the difference there. I listed on Friday, I think it was, the complete air assets, the air force of the Iranian government, the Iranian military, and it's really been neutered to pretty much nothing. They do not have an aircraft that can strike Israel on its homeland. They do not have the refueling capability. They do not have the infrastructure in place for these planes to make it there. So at most, they're a self-defense asset or a neighboring offensive asset, neither of which are coming into play here because Israel has total air dominance over even Tehran. It was interesting to come out that one of the targets was the leader of Iran, and it was Donald Trump who was against it and said, no, you don't take the leader out at this point. I cannot endorse that. Now, obviously, Israel can do what they want as a free nation, but it was interesting to hear Netanyahu say that he respects Donald Trump's opinion, and you know they followed that, where they did not take him out. Now, Iran is becoming more and more warm to these talks again. And it was good to see President Donald Trump. Well, they had their chance to talk, and now it's our way of the highway, which is the way it should be. Listen, you cannot stop halfway so they can start rebuilding their program again. They need to learn that. And if you look at Iran pre-1979, it was a flourishing community. It was a flourishing nation, likened to Dubai, Saudi Arabia, people walking around, you know, in very modern dress, listening to music, going out and doing the things that, free nations do, to where they are now. Their own people are fed up with the way things are going there. So does something start up from the inside? I guess we'll see. But it what was interesting today is while Iranian media was live on the air, their building was bombed. And the feed ended up cutting out, but you could see debris falling. The lights go out, their backdrop go dark, and smoke fill the room. So it was interesting that while their live propaganda was happening, they were struck by Israeli forces. This is going to continue back and forth. At what point do they start lobbing missiles at U.S. assets? I think that would be a big mistake. I think they realize that, which is why we haven't seen it to date, but it's always a possibility. Because, unfortunately, Iran cannot reach Israel with a lot of their assets, except for their ballistic and cruise missiles and drones. They can reach some of the bases in Iraq and neighboring where the U.S. are stationed and have facilities. So something we're watching, something the U.S. seems to be preparing for, because like, again, I said yesterday and this morning, there was an unusual amount of assets being moved to that area just in case. So, you know, we'll keep apprised on what's going on there. It doesn't look like this is ending anytime soon, but it doesn't look like Iran is, again, in any position except to indiscriminately lob weapons into populated areas. And that does not give them, you know, the world support. It does not give them anything but more heartache on their own land due to the retaliations that will take place because of it. It's 4:20, coming up on 4:22 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. I'm going to go to the phone with Russ from West Scranton. Russ.
Yes, hi, Bob.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I've talked to you about a couple things. One is that minimum wage you're talking about, right? And that, nobody has, I heard anybody say anything about in a lot of business places, they put the poster up about the minimum wage in that. And then nobody says about there's a 45-day training thing where you don't have to pay the minimum wage. Are you aware of that?
I've heard that before, but I've really never worked in a situation where it was applicable. So,
yeah, I've seen it displayed in a couple business places, you know, and nobody has ever said anything about that since they've been talking about raising the minimum wage, you know. And so he's thinking, well, an employer could hire somebody for 40 days, fire them, and they'll get away without paying minimum wage. And then they say, well, they never was able to perform that way we want it to, you know?
Yeah, Russ, you know, it's so hard to find good employees. I can't see employers even doing, I mean, maybe back in the day or when there was an abundance of kids you can abuse in that way, maybe. But in this day and age, when you find someone that shows up every day and at least does the job, it's hard. Yeah. So, you know, I don't see them really, you know, having a conveyor belt of new employees to do that to in this day and age.
They'll find some reason to fire them or something, yeah. I'm sure, you know, and then make things so tough on them, they'll quit or something, you know. But the other thing is about Iran, right? You're saying about them delivering a nuclear device, right? And that, well, I heard that Iran is the only country that is still flying F-4 Phantoms of ours. Did you know that?
Well, we actually still fly them, but they're not in active service, but we still use them for training purposes. But yes, they do fly our they still have our F-4s, and they still have – they even have a couple of F-5s, and they have our F-14 Tomcat A versions.
Oh, okay. What about – I heard they had also bought some MiG-29s off the Russia, too. Did you know that?
Yeah, I listed all their aircraft that they had in their arsenal on Friday. I don't have it in front of me. There were some Russian aircraft in there, and there were also some aircraft that were taken from Iraq during the Iran-Iraq war. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. As far as delivering a nuclear device, they have the capability. Because we had nuclear devices on the bottom of an A-4 Skyhawk, which is smaller than those planes, and they were on the aircraft carriers, and we have four of them on aircraft carriers during the Cold
War. If they make it, they could probably get it on a plane. The thing is, their planes do not have the range to make Israel.
Well, first of all, that's why they have refueling planes to fly.
Yeah, but they don't have operational refueling planes, Iran.
Oh, as far as we know, they don't have them, right?
Well, I think we got a pretty good... they have some DC-10s that were converted to be fuel refueling, and it only does about a sixth of their force, and most of the time not operational. So it appears that they do not have that capability.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Okay. A question. A friend of mine and I were talking the other day, and that were you ever in the military, which is curious?
I was not. Both my kids were. I was law enforcement.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know you're law enforcement because you seem to have knowledge of the military. That's why I was wondering, you know.
Well, I have a lot of good contacts through my time in dealing with that.
Okay, that's about all I could think of talking about you today.
All right, Russ. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Take my call.
Well, no problem. It's 4:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paula. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. On this day, June 16th, we have two. Chief of Police, Durrell Edward Shoemaker, the South Center Township Police Department of Pennsylvania, 1992. He died after being in a coma for 17 days. He was accidentally struck in the head, which caused him to fall from a second-story balcony while conducting a warrant search training exercise. Served with the agency for 33 years, survived by his wife, daughter, and son. We have Detective Lewis Moore, Philadelphia Police Department in Pennsylvania, on June 16, 1933. Detective Moore was struck from behind with a heavy bolt and killed by a man who told police he thought Moore, who was in plain clothes, was going to rob him when he pulled his car over near 30th and Oakford Street. Detective Moore suspected the man was going to rob two women in another car. Detective Moore was a five-year police veteran of the force. And those are our two from here in Pennsylvania. I did have, let me pull it up here. Had it for a second here. This shooting that took place in Lowe's, it was, I saw the reports on social media that there was a police response to Lowe's and that they were cordoning off the area, and it did not look good. It was obviously before the time it opened, so it was apparent. You know, either there was some kind of robbery going in overnight because, you know, they are a 24/7 operation, just the customers aren't in there. But, it appears Christopher Wozenski of Dalton was charged with his charges were upgraded today. So I don't have the current charge right in front of me. Where he told police during an interview that his coworker, Jeff Moeller, had been harassing him. And no one would do anything about it. Wozenski said he brought a handgun with the intent to shoot Moeller and practiced using it in his backyard. The suspect called in the shooting, stating, "I'd like to report a shooting at the Dixon City Lowe's. I was the person who did it," according to the criminal complaint. It's a senseless act of violence, per the corporate Lowe's spokesperson. But here for us in our backyard, it's more than that. You know, I drove by the Lowe's Sunday morning after we had breakfast down in Main Street in Dixon City. You know, we went up there to do some things. And, it was operational like it normally would, parking lot full, all the spring and summer plants and everything outside. But just a tragedy for our area. Police said they found the victim in the ground in a pool of blood amid bullet casings where he suffered multiple gunshot wounds. There was a semi-automatic handgun on the ground near the shopping cart about 30 feet from the victim. The handgun appeared to be unloaded. There was a live round on the ground in the magazine next to the handgun. The handgun found was a Springfield 9mm. I mean, just based on the preliminary, facts that I'm seeing, it appears that this individual, there was some sort of workplace dispute. This individual took things into his own hands. There were reports that he didn't want the person to suffer, so he shot him additional times to put him out of his suffering based on what I'm seeing. Unless someone else emptied the gun, I would speculate that, and that's all this is, speculation, that the suspect himself unloaded the gun, ejected the live round, pulled the magazine out, dropped the gun on the floor, and then called 911 and turned himself in, saying he was the one who did it. Police arrived. They did take him into custody without incident. So just a tragedy all around that this couldn't be resolved other ways. But, you know, I'm sure this will be through the court system and in our media here. But it's just, you know, something else in our area that you never know when something's going to happen. It's one of the reasons why I tell people to ignore, you know, the violent threats. And listen, I deal with it all the time, and you laugh it off and you move on. There's no need to get into it with people who are looking for trouble. There's no need to get into, you know, if someone's honking their horn or tailgating you, giving you the finger, let them move over, let them go. Ignore them, wave if you want to wave, smile, and, you know, and let them go on their way. Yeah, you won. You won is the easiest way to go about it. Because you never know what someone's dealing with. You never know what anger someone has. You never know the mental state of people this day and age. We keep hearing time and time again, more and more people, you know, are suffering from issues, and you don't need to be brought into that. So you're better off letting someone else in their own mind think they won, waving, smiling, and going on with your life. But it's just another tragedy for our area here. Thankfully, no one else was injured. It's 4:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast. Tonight, cloudy, low of 60. Tuesday, clouds with scattered showers, a high of 70. Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds, milder with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high of 80. It is currently 65 degrees here at 4:41 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? On this day, Monday, June 16th, 2025. So let's look at June 16th. Let's see what we have here. In 1858, Lincoln's House Divided speech. Abraham Lincoln delivered the famous House Divided speech in Springfield, Illinois, upon accepting the Illinois Republican Party's nomination for U.S. Senate. He declared, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Addressing the growing division over slavery, this became one of the most iconic speeches in American history, no doubt. 1884, the first roller coaster in America opens. The Switchback Railway, the first gravity-powered roller coaster in the U.S., opened in Coney Island, New York. The cost of a nickel to ride, and marked the beginning of American amusement park culture. The old Coney Island used to be something else. Every once in a while, my path would have to go down there for work, and it was something else. They had the Carnival Freak Show there for the longest time, and you know, the old school wooden roller coaster, Nathan's, famous Nathan's right there. It was good. Memories, right? That's what we're talking about here. 1933, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, created as part of Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal. The Banking Act of 1933 was signed into law, creating the FDIC. It aimed to restore trust in the American banking system during the Great Depression by insuring deposits. 1972, the Watergate burglary. Five men were arrested for breaking into the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. This event eventually led to the Watergate scandal and President Richard Nixon's resignation 2 years later. We got some notable birthdays today. Stan Laurel, 1890, British-born American comedian, best known as half of the duo Laurel and Hardy. Stan Laurel. Joyce Carol Oates, renowned American author, known for her novels, short stories, and essays exploring themes of violence, class, and identity. And that's pretty much today in history. While we have some time, I did pull up my post from last week about what Iranian assets they have as far as their Air Force capabilities. And, you know, of course, we're in an area where you have Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, and a lot of places here. And someone did say that the F-4 Phantom can indeed make Israel from Iran, but it would be a one-way trip. They don't have enough to get back. So it would be a suicide mission which I wouldn't put past them, but they are correct. The range of the F-4 Phantom is about 1,700 miles, and it's somewhere just under 1,400 miles for a one-way trip. But I did see that the Israeli Air Force did destroy two of Iranian's F-14s today. Now, it's said that those are two of the only capable F-14s that they still have. I don't know how true that is. It looked like their wings were in a weird position, so I don't even know if those two were in operational. Both of them had some weird wing configurations, looking to me like they weren't. But Iran has approximately 15 to 41 F-14 Tomcats that they acquired in 1970. 79 of them were delivered by the U.S. Some of them have been upgraded to an F-14 AM standard with Russian assistance, though maintenance is challenging due to sanctions. They do have somewhere between 18 and 24 MiG-29 fulcrums. They were acquired from the Soviet Union in 1990. They do have anywhere between 9 and 63 F-4 and Phantom 2s. They do have anywhere between 9 and 30 F-5 E&F Tiger 2s. They have some F-7 air guards, approximately 17 to 18 units, Chinese-made copies of the MiG-21 acquired in the 80s, used for secondary roles due to obsoletes. They have a Mirage F-1, around 9 of them, originally Iraqi aircraft that fled into Iran in the 1991 war. They have some Su-24 Fencers, around 23 units. These are Soviet-designed attacked aircraft. And Su-25 Frogfoot, somewhere between 7 and 11 units. These are former Iraqi aircraft integrated into the IRIFAF. That's Iran's Air Force, used for close air support. They do have a few C-130 Hercules. They do have a few helicopters, Bell 212s and Bell 206s. They do have AH-1 Cobra, Iran claims capable producing the U.S.-designed helicopter locally, but numbers are unclear and none has ever been seen, so we doubt they have that. As far as their refueling, they do have a Boeing 707 and 747 tanker repurposed for in-flight refueling, extending the range of the fighters of the MiG-29 and the Su-24, but that's it. And again, I believe these were damaged in the initial attack as well. So that's a little overview of what Iran has as far as their air capabilities. But I do stand corrected that the F-4 and some of their aircraft can at least make a one-way trip to Israel, but I doubt they'd get there. Plus, all the surrounding countries have refused Iran to use their airspace. So that's another thing. Would they even make it to Israel? I guess if they try, we'll see. Plus, you got to realize our aircraft are patrolling the perimeters and could intercede at any time. It's 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:54 here, 65 degrees. I got some text messages in on the F-14s about their swept wings. I lived out on Long Island, and the Grumman plant was there. We used to see the F-14s all the time. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, my dad got me one of the original brochures of the F-14 Tomcat when they were just approved for production, and truly sparked my interest in aviation at the time. But the pictures that it looked like one wing was extended, one was swept back, which is unusual unless there's some sort of maintenance or malfunction thing going on. They're usually in unison. The other one looked like it was missing a tip of a wing, which is, again, unusual. So, again, yeah, just from aerial photos, nothing much there. But the F-14 Tomcat, there's a couple of static ones at some of the places I frequent very often, a magnificent aircraft. And Captain Kevin Miller, who I have on this show, who was squadron commander for the Gunslingers, he was a Tomcat pilot. And one of the truly incredible aircrafts, and hopefully the F-18s kind of took its place, and hopefully we find something that's suitable as our next multi-use fighter, strike fighter, because we definitely need one. We definitely need one indeed. Excuse me. So four officers were injured as violent Portland rioters breached an ICE building with explosives and rocks. Go figure, right? Didn't we talk about this on Friday? It's interesting because, you know, I played the video from the Florida sheriff who talked about that, you know, throwing rocks and using commercial grade fireworks and such like that is, in fact, an attempt to cause serious physical injury and or death and can be met with deadly physical force. Now, that must have been taken by some, obviously, from the some of the outbursts I saw directed at me on the internet this weekend, is I was advocating for just shooting into the crowd. If someone's throwing rocks at you in a crowd, if someone's shooting fireworks, you should just indiscriminately shoot back into the crowd randomly. That's absolutely ridiculous, and it's, it just goes to show you that you know, the intent is just to be angry, not to actually have a discussion. There are rules of engagement, and they likened it to the military, where military gets rocks and bottles and saw blades and everything thrown at them all the time. Yeah, our military has also worked under the ludicrous rules of engagement of don't fire until fire upon, which is utterly ridiculous because you're already behind the eight ball if they're already shooting at you. So, you know, let's start there. There's different escalations of force. There's different rules of engagement for our American law enforcement or citizens that are armed to protect themselves. Obviously, you know, I don't care if someone's shooting at you with a gun. If there's a crowd and, you know, unless absolutely necessary, you know, you take surrounding factors and mitigating risks into that. So it was interesting to see, you know, if someone's isolated throwing rocks or commercial grade fireworks at you and there's no collateral threats that are in the area, you know, you should be able, you should take those, that abuse. But in no way advocated into firing randomly into crowds because one person in there or two people might be throwing stuff at you. That couldn't be further from the truth. There's again, even if someone in a crowd is shooting at you, you have to take into consideration your target's backdrop and, you know, around you. Even if someone's holding someone hostage and threatening others, you have to really take into consideration, is cover and concealment a better method, or can you challenge the threat? That goes with training, professionalism, and your skill set. So it's interesting how that was turned into that. But this report just goes to show, you know, four officers were injured in these violent protests in Portland. And they used a stop sign that they ripped out of the ground as a battering ram to smash the front glass window. They were drastically outnumbered, which shouldn't be, but hey, it is Portland. And this is not the first time we've seen things there. But thankfully, federal officers in gear deployed smoke, tear gas, flash grenades, and other projectiles as some of the crowd hurled fireworks, frozen water bottles, and rocks back at them. All potential threat to serious physical injury or death. And this whole thing with commercial-grade fireworks, that's been a, you know, the past couple of years. These are explosives. I mean, you're harming anyone in the area with this. And it's just a matter of time before there's some sort of overwatch or something to where someone throwing a mortar, basically a grenade, at anyone will be taken out. And will that change the game? I don't know. But this isn't a game because there are serious injuries happening. And it's interesting how some want it to be tolerated and reality tells you that you should not be victimized like this on the law enforcement side simply for following the laws that their legislators create. It's coming up on 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.